Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and happy Sunday to everyone. We are here today to talk about how to be a workplace ally. This episode will be brought to you by Lean In. I think the last episode we also did, it was brought to you by Lean In as well. Lean In is a great website for women that are just trying to embrace each other, encourage each other, learn some tips to kind of better themselves. So we're trying to incorporate some of their knowledge into Sisters Toward Society's podcast. We found this article, and it discussed 6 tips to help us in our workplace. Oftentimes in the workplace, we are not as appreciative of the women that we work with, and we don't show them as much as respect as what we should. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We work with those ones that we call snooty, or they're jealous, or they're condescending, or whatever. But those women, they're there for a reason, I should say. But most of us don't know how to handle them type of people. Well, today we will review these tips to help us in the workplace and everyday life, because not only are these people in our workplace, but they're also people that are around us when we go to networking events and things of that nature. So we don't want to put ourselves in any type of jeopardy, and we will always want to know how to react in a negative situation, how to make it positive. So here are some tips. We're going to read through the situations, the solutions, and give you some did you know. Tip number 1, celebrate women's accomplishments. Here's your situation. Women are often less credited for successful outcomes and blamed more for failures. Moreover, women and men respond in recognition differently. Women often credit our accomplishments to external factors, such as getting lucky and help from others, while men attribute theirs to innate qualities and skills. They own their success, and we undermine ours. Conversely, when women celebrate our own accomplishments, we are often penalized for self-promotion. As a result of these dynamics, women's contributions can go unnoticed.
The solution for this is look for opportunities to celebrate women's accomplishments and point out when women are being blamed unfairly for mistakes. Better yet, get together with a group of women and agree to celebrate one another's success whenever possible. Although women are often penalized for promoting ourselves, you can lift up other women. They can do the same for you. When you introduce female coworkers, highlight their credentials and accomplishments. For example, you might say, Katie was in charge of our most recent product launch, and it generated more sales than any other initiative this year.
Did you know? According to a recent study by a Harvard PhD candidate in economics, men get about the same amount of credit when they write a research paper with a co-ed team as they do when they're sole author. In contrast, women get almost zero credit if they write a paper as part of a team with a man on it.
Wow. Mm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Tip number 2, challenge the likability penalty.
Women face a double standard that men don't. Men are expected to be assertive and confident, so coworkers welcome their leadership. In contrast, women are expected to be nurturing and collaborative, so when we lead, we go against expectations and often face pushback from men and women. The problem is that women need to assert ourselves to be effective. This likability penalty often surfaces in the way women are described, both in passing and in performance reviews. When a woman speaks in a direct style or pushes her ideas, she is often called aggressive or ambitious. When a man does the same, he is seen as confident and strong.
Solution. When you hear a woman called bossy or shrill. Request a specific example of what the woman did and then ask. Would you have the same reaction if a man did the same thing? In many cases, the answer will be no. When you're having a negative response to a woman at work, ask yourself the same question and give her the benefit of the doubt. Odds are she's just doing her job.
Did you know, in a recent study of performance reviews, 66% of women receive negative feedback on their personal style, such as you can sometimes be abrasive, compared to less than 1% of men? All right. Tip number three, make sure women's ideas are heard. You want to read the situation?
Yes. If you're watching coworkers at the same level in meetings, you'll likely notice that more men sit in the front and center, while women tend to gravitate toward the end of a table and the edge of a room, away from the position that conveys status. Women also get less airtime in a group situation. We are interrupted more by both men and women and given less credit for our ideas.
On the solution, set a good example by sitting front and center and speaking up in meetings, and encourage other women to do the same. Then look for ways to shape the conversation. When a woman is interrupted, interject and say you'd like to hear her finish. When a coworker runs away with a woman's idea, remind everyone it originated with her by saying, "Great idea, thanks to Katie for surfacing it." If you see a woman struggling to break into the conversation, say you'd like to hear other points of view. When you advocate for your female coworkers, they benefit, and you're seen as a leader. Moreover, meetings are most effective when everyone's best thinking is heard.
Did you know, when women stay quiet, often our status suffers. Women who speak less in group discussions are seen as having less influence. I'm going to stop for a second because I want to get everyone's opinion, not just my own, about the first three tips that we've talked about. The first tip, let's go back, was celebrate women's accomplishments. Ms. Ruthie, give us some input of what you think as far as this situation and the solution as far as celebrating women's accomplishments. Like, what do you do to celebrate women's accomplishments? Because you do a lot of volunteering yourself, and you work with a vast amount of different types of people and personalities and things of that nature. So,
well, what I try to do to celebrate women's accomplishment, I encourage them in whatever the situation may be, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, you know, they're doing a good job. I like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell other people about their accomplishments and how great they are at what they're doing. So that's how I celebrate women.
Same thing. At work, when we're discussing different projects that we're working on, I usually try to make sure that the person that thought of that idea gets the credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person that did the hardest work or, you know, the most work, that they get that credit, that recognition.
Okay. So let's talk about the challenge, the likability penalty.
We know this one well.
So I'm going to let you start, and you tell me what you think first, and then I'm going to put my input in. Go ahead.
Well, how many times have you been called the B word because you're more outspoken or opinionated mm-hmm. than you're expected to be?
Right.
You know? But I get called it numerous times because I am opinionated, and I voice my opinion,
mm-hmm.
and I speak up, and I give my ideas, and mm-hmm. whether they like it or not.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well,
so let me tell you something. There is a difference between the bossiness and you have to learn how to tame it, number one. First off, I am, and I'm speaking on myself here, I am controlling and bossy at times.
Me too.
But it's the approach that I take to invite others to do certain things or to get us all to work together. Now, when someone calls me or say that I'm bossy or whatever, whatnot, do I take offense? Sometimes just depending on the person. Not really in all circumstances, because I feel like you have to get to know me to know me as being bossy. There are certain situations where you have to take lead in different projects rather than, and it can be viewed as being bossy, but it's not that you're being bossy, you're just trying to get the work done. A lot of people mistake, like for me personally, they mistake my passion as being bossy and controlling. But it's not necessarily me being bossy and controlling, is that I'm trying to get everything on one accord. So, and I'm taking this back to even my working days, y'all. So even when I worked, I had that same situation from this one lady that actually said that, I heard that she said that I was too bossy. But I wasn't being bossy. My job is to make sure that everyone else is doing their job. And when you're doing your job, give me no reason to question it, then I'm leaving you alone. Because my thing is, look at my numbers, and I'm looking at the performance. If that adds up, then I don't care what you do. At the end of the day, you just got to do your job. So I received a lot of negative feedback from my style of the way I worked or whatever, whatever. So at the end of the day, I'm no longer there. God had better plans, so I moved on. But it's just one of those things that just kind of took me back, like, hold on, wait a minute, because I know some people have made that same mistake about myself. So that's all I want to say about this. I'm just saying. So the next one was make sure women's ideas are heard. Oftentimes, in my opinion, we overlook women in their opinion. We listen to the other person before we listen to the ones that we are close to. Sometimes it's with given rights, because another person may be more experienced in certain areas. And sometimes it's just because we don't value the people that we're working with or working around. So when you are in your group meetings, listen to what everyone has to say before you throw judgment or negative feedback. What do y'all think?
I have a good example of this one. My dad is he's a chauvinist. I love him dearly, but he is definitely a chauvinist.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be working on something, and I'll come up with an idea. Hey, Dad, why don't you do this?
Mm-hmm.
No, that won't work. Or he just ignores me.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband, you know, after 20 years, he's figured this out too. So he'll say, hey, Roger, why don't we do this? My exact same idea, but coming from my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So he usually turns around and, you know, and he'll smile at me or pat me on the butt to let me know, you know, so that I know that what he's doing. But that's just the way my dad is, you
right.
know, and after all this time, I've, you know, kind of come to terms with it. But that is, a great example. And he does the same thing with my mom, you know. He doesn't hear her. They're not good ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you know, they've been married now 48 years.
They've adjusted to that.
Yeah, they've adjusted to
that.
They've learned to overlook
it. Another situation that I know, though, too, I have a tendency to be kind of quiet. So if I'm in a group meeting, I have a tendency to be quiet. So when I say something, a lot of times then my opinion is not heard because
mm-hmm.
everybody viewed me as the quiet one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I find that with a lot of quiet people that their opinions are not heard because, you know, they're not out front,
right.
you know, they're not in everybody's face. So that's another one that I find that.
Yeah. So we got to, even though we're quiet, we got to be able to still speak up.
In other words.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I work with a group of women.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of them
because of the nature of the business,
mm-hmm.
try to take credit for other people's ideas. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that's just, it's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of us have gotten together and we've stepped up and said, oh, you know, so-and-so came up with that idea a couple of weeks ago, and I think, you know, think it's a great idea.
Right.
You know, trying to make sure that they're,
no,
that
my
they're
person
getting the credit.
Is
credit. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's good. Because I hate when people take credit for other people's effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go on to number four. Encourage women to go for it. Whew. Here we go. The situation. Women are prone to more intense self-doubt than men. And it's not because we're missing a special confidence gene. Women face an uneven playing field at work. This bias is so pronounced that simply changing the name on a resume from a woman's to a man's increases the candidate's hireability by 61%. Because female performance is frequently underestimated, women need to work harder to prove we're just as capable and are more likely to miss out on key assignments, promotions, and raises. Women even tend to underestimate our own performance and are more likely to attribute our failures to lack of ability. Because the workplace is harder on women and we are harder on ourselves, our confidence often erodes. As a result, many women are less likely to put themselves forward to promotions or negotiate.
Look for solutions. Look for opportunities to boost other women's confidence and encourage them to go forward. If a coworker tells you she's not ready for a new project or position, remind her what she's already accomplished and offer to be a thoughtful buddy while she gets up to speed. Or fake it till she makes it.
Yep.
When it's time to negotiate, encourage her to ask for more and role play with her to prepare her for this discussion.
Did you know men apply for jobs when they need 60% of the when they meet 60% of the hiring criteria, while women wait until we meet 100%. Moreover, women negotiate less frequently and ask for a third less money when we do. Yet when we negotiate for others, we are just as effective as men.
Tip number five, give women direct feedback. Remember the situation?
The situation. Women often receive less and less helpful feedback. While men get specific recommendations for improving their performance, women hear more generic feedback that's harder to act on, such as good job, or you need more presence in meetings. Men may hesitate to give critical feedback to women for fear of eliciting an emotional response. And this is likely the case for women too. Unfortunately, this lack of input slows women down. It's hard to build skills in advance if you don't know what to do.
Solution. Look for opportunities to give women you work with input that can help them learn and grow. And remember that holding back for fear you'll upset someone doesn't benefit her. Whenever possible, share your feedback. Live in the moment and when it's most effective. Treat feedback as a gift and solicit it often. You'll benefit from the input, and ideally your female coworkers will follow your lead.
Did you know, in a recent
analysis,
I don't know why I don't like that word. In a recent analysis of hundreds of performance reviews, 60% of the developmental feedback men received was linked to specific business outcomes and therefore actionable, compared to only 40% of the developmental feedback women received. Number six, this is the final one, ladies. Mentor and sponsor other women. Let me read the situation.
Mentorship and sponsorship are key drivers of success. But unfortunately, when women often miss out,
Men tend to gravitate toward mentoring other men because they have shared interests. In fact, two-thirds of men are participants in our Women's in the Workplace study reported that their mentors were mostly men. In addition, women are less likely to have mentors who advocate for and promote them. And this type of sponsorship, it is ultimately what opens doors and creates opportunities. These disparities help explain why fewer women end up in leadership roles.
And the solution? Commit the time and energy to mentor another woman. If you're early in your career, don't underestimate the value of your input. You may have just been through what a woman starting out is experiencing. If you're more senior, go beyond offering advice and use your influence to advocate for your mentee. Sponsorship is a great way for female leaders to reach back to help women early in their careers.
Did you know your peers can serve as valuable advocates and advisors? The women in small peer groups called lean-in circles encourage each other to go for it and practice the skills they need to be successful. As a result, 85% of members attribute a positive change in their life to their circle. So you can start your own or join one of your own circles for Lean In today. Let's go back and talk about encourage women to go for it.
So one of the ladies I work for, she didn't get the position I have just because she's not aggressive enough is what they told her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some great ideas. She's actually on her own this weekend because I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been checking in with me, and she's doing a great job. So with her, there's a lot of self-doubt, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She just, even though she's been doing it 20 years, she doesn't realize how good she is at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of that is just encouraging her to, you know, step out of her comfort zone and, you know, and get out there and pull people in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's easy for me because I'm always encouraging other people to just do it. I mean, the thing for me is, for us to show our independence and that we are capable of doing just about anything that we set our mind to. I actually just shared something with my husband on Facebook. There was a girl that I went to high school with, and she did a Facebook show just to show she remodeled her whole kitchen by herself, cabinets, countertops, electrical outlets, everything. Even though she did it all by herself, I mean, I was amazingly impressed because you don't see a lot of women taking that initiative. They would, we would, you know, we always mm-hmm. look for the other way out. We'll find somebody, pay them, figure out payment arrangements. You know, we'll do some layaways on some stuff and everything else. We don't be trying to do all that, but I commended her. I actually commended her because she was a do-it-yourself chick, and that's mm-hmm. awesome. You know, you don't have that many of them, and the reason why I say that many of them my age that are do-it-yourself chicks, they are.
We were raised in the environment of the men kind of took care of
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they took care of all that stuff. My husband traveled.
Yeah.
Well, he's retired now, but he traveled for years.
Right.
If I didn't take care of it, then I had to hire somebody, and we didn't always have the money for that.
Right.
So I took care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's one thing that we have to know, that we can do anything that we set our mind to. We just have to put ourselves in the situation and just go for it and do it.
You were a single mom for years, too.
Yeah.
So, and you learned to do a lot of things on your own.
Yeah, and I learned to call people too, and get it done for free too. So I ain't gonna act like I did everything, but I did do some things on my own. I won't call nobody to change the light bulb, as some people would do, but you know, I did some things on my own. Yeah, 3 minutes. Let's go to give women direct feedback. One thing I am firmly a believer in is tell me the truth.
Don't beat around the bush. Don't tell me no indirect stuff. Tell me what you really want me to know so I don't have to guess that I've done something wrong or try to figure it out. The more direct that you are with that person, it helps them to know what they need to work on and be a better person or either approach you at a different manner.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I have found even with here recently doing, you know, the networking and meeting different people and things of that nature. A lot of people have been very direct and just telling me what's going on and what I need to do and how to do different things. And, you know, I appreciate all the advice and help that I'm getting. And with that, it allowed me to help us, Sisters for Society, to try to put these things in place and to grow it, to take it to another level instead of staying stagnant. Mm-hmm. Because the more stagnant we stay, the less people will get following us. So with that advice, I actually appreciate everybody that's given me the great advice that I've been getting. The last one is mentor and sponsor other women. Anybody got anything to say before I close it out? Nope. Okay. So mentor and sponsor other women. I have come in contact with so many fabulous, phenomenal women that have taken me under their wings and is embracing. They are so loving. They are so willing to help. They are joining when they don't even have to join, putting me a part of things that they don't really have to put me a part of. And it is helping us as an organization to grow and get out in the community a lot better. So our faith of being known. And so with that, it has allowed us to just be able to grow and continue to serve our community the way that we have, the way that we are supposed to. So with that, we're going to continue to be, we are mentees of a mentor and sponsor, and we're going to try and interface and take it down to our youth, because our youth, they need
our future.
Yeah, and they need the same mentors that I've been getting to embrace and take them in under their wings and help them be better leaders in the community. With that being said, we hope y'all enjoyed today's show. It was, again, How to Be a Workplace Ally. Follow us on Facebook at Sisters, the number 4 Society. That's our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit us on our website at sistersforsociety.org.
I'm just asking if you wanted to say it was the last one.
No, the last one is next month.
Yeah.
I thought it was just.